personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
What a joyous time of year it now is, Dal. We were officially this close. We are a nose hair away from football being back, and it's just fantastic in all ways.
And as you know, that nose hair, depending on the person, can be very aggressive or long or short. Or really, this is how we're going to start.
We are a nice standard metric nose hair away, all right? We're not going to variable it.
You're right, though. You get into that mode where you don't want to offend the non-football people, even though you'd just soon talk about football in, you know, April or whatever, May or whatever month it is. And then and you're like, of course, April. The draft is in April. But then, like, right now, it's like, screw you. It's football season.
And I am now that I have, you know, last year I started literally watching WNBA games. I can officially say that I now watch every single sport in which Chicago has a team. I am well spread out, and I still don't care. Like, once football season comes back, that's what matters.
True. Well, I did see something as it pertains to your Bears that came out today. The annual Forbes rankings of most valuable franchises. The Bears are number 5.
They're up. I want to say it was $48 million from what they were last year at this time.
I guess I didn't look at the increase. I just saw that they're number 5. But yeah, the Dallas Cowboys, they were projected at $8 billion. It sounds like Dr. Evil should be saying that with his pinky of $8 billion. That is just absolutely crazy. I brought this up once in a previous podcast, like when they have the Mega Millions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When I first I moved back, I'm from this area, and then I went to school, and you have a few years where you're off going to school and being married, and then if you can come back, you do. At least that's kind of what happens sometimes. Anyway, I remember thinking, if you won the Mega Millions, there used to be the conversation of, hey, you can buy a professional sports franchise. Which one would you buy? And I remember like the payout being like, you know, $400 million or something like that. And I remember one of the teams was like the Denver Nuggets and teams like that. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, you could all, and even back then it was like, wow, you could almost buy a crappy NFL team. And then that went away.
Yeah.
Even the team that I cheer for, Washington, Dan Snyder bought that for, I think, $850 million, which at the time was a record. And people were like, holy crap. And now the Washington franchise is worth between, I would guess if he sold, which I prayed that he would since the day he bought it, It would probably start at $5 billion. I would think it would be right around that time.
I still think back to the George Halas joke he made back in 1980. They were doing an interview on the history of the Chicago Bears. And George Halas, his payment to be the first owner of the Chicago Bears was 100 crisp dollars. He gave him one bill, and he owned the Chicago Bears. And then he just kind of turned to the camera. And he said, so I laid down $100, and I owned a franchise. I think it might be worth a few more pennies than that now. And then he just kept going, dry as could be.
Well, even
I always got a kick out of that.
Well,
one.
Even Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, I'm going off memory, but I think he paid. I mean, he bought the Cowboys back in the 80s, and I want to say it was like $18 million. I'm gonna look it up real quick while you talk, but
okay,
but yeah, now it's worth $8 billion, just absolutely crazy.
And I always think now Jerry Jones, you're gonna make me think back here to his story about how when he was out of college, and this just shows how rich his family was. But his first business venture he wanted to do, because he played football at, I want to say, University of Arkansas.
Yes, he's a big Arkansas contributor.
Yes. He wanted to purchase, because they were for sale, the San Diego Chargers. He wanted to own a professional football team, and his father talked him out of it. And he said, my father told me that would be a dumb waste of your money. You'll never make it back. That's just throwing money down the drain to chase a cheap dream. That was Jerry Jones's words on what his father told to him. 10 years went by. His oil company was starting to take off a little bit. He said, you know what? Forget it. It's my money now. I'm going to go buy that team that I wanted. He bought the Dallas Cowboys for. You've got the number pulled up right there.
Yeah, I was way off.
10 times what you said, but still.
Yeah, $150 million. What's interesting, though, is there's
now worth $8 billion.
And not only that, someone asked Jerry Jones. First off, he says, I'll never sell, which, you know, that's up to him. But he says he thinks he could get 10. And he probably could.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's nuts about that, and I can say this because Washington's been even worse, is imagine if Dallas had been relevant for the last 30 years. Imagine they had won, you know, the Super Bowls, say, the Patriots had. Because the Patriots weren't worth poop.
There's another one. Bob Kraft bought that team.
Yeah, now they're second on that list. And he shops for a bargain, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. There's your Dr. Evil laugh of the day.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, it's hilarious to me that Jerry Jones' dad specifically told him that buying an NFL team was, quote, throwing your money away, you'll never make it back.
Well, maybe he won't, because it's...
He spent $150 million. His team is now worth $8 billion.
But it's all, you know, it's right there. It's not like he has $8 billion in his pocket.
He might.
Yeah, he
might. Be unrelated, but he might.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see what the television dollars have done for the NFL. And you look at Roger Goodell. Here's a prime example. Roger Goodell last year made $63.9 million for his job as the commissioner of the NFL. There may not be anyone in the world who thinks that he does a good job at that. I don't think anybody is like, you know what, that Roger Goodell, he's killing it as commissioner. I've never heard that from anybody, but it is in their contract as the commissioner. They are paid a percentage of basically how well the league is doing. Well, guess what? The league is kicking A.
Well, our leadoff should hint at that somewhat. Baseball playoffs are right around the corner. Hockey season's about to get started. The Chicago Sky are playing game 3 of their series. That postseason's going on right now. The one thing on my mind right now
Bears.
Is the fantasy football draft Bears. That's coming up this Sunday.
Bears.
And then that's just how my heart beats, actually. Bears.
I love the old super fans, the Polish sausage.
If Coach Ditka fought the shark from Jaws, who do you think would win?
I like the one, let's see. Ditka versus a hurricane. Who wins? Well, certainly, you know, it's going to be Ditka. You know, that's an easy question. No. Hold on. The name of the hurricane is Hurricane Ditka. Oh, those were great. But football season is here, Aaron. We've wasted 10 minutes just BSing
about it. We haven't even talked about anything yet. We've just fanboyed about football for a bit.
Let's talk about fantasy league. I have been invited into your longtime fantasy league this year.
Yes, this is Fantasy Bowl 14.
And I'm
coming.
I'm excited. I'm excited to interact. I hope nobody hates me.
Right up until the first time Kyler and Josh go head-to-head, and then your excitement will dwindle. That or increase, skyrocket. We're going to learn a lot about Dal as a person when that week shows up, and we just sit there staring at the horrors that Josh Johnson, whoever he is, this random... Now, that was the weirdest story of this league ever, was we just... One year, we had 9 people, and we needed to fill a 10th. So 1 week before our draft, I opened the league publicly. Some random dude joined.
Named Josh.
Apparently, he's from Chicago, so we let him in. We're like, okay, Josh, have at... He is arguably one of the highest levels of participation of anyone in the league. So we've just kept him all these years as like a half joke, half.
And you guys, you haven't invited him over or anything
no,
like that?
We don't know who he is. All we know is that he really hates Kyler because they were playing, I think it was like a final week of the regular season several years ago. This was like Josh's second year in the league. And Kyler, who's sitting in my living room with me, we're watching some TV. He goes, "Hey, Aaron." He goes, "This will be funny. I'm going to talk some trash at him," because it was whoever won was going to make the playoffs. Whoever won was getting that four seed. They were going head-to-head. He's like, "I'm going to talk some trash at him." And he said something so, it was like, "Hey, Josh, I'm going to kick your butt this week. Your team is trash." Real generic. What followed was, I believe, like an eight-paragraph manifesto written entirely of words I wasn't sure were real. They were so filthy.
Written in blood.
Yes. And we just went, "Oh, my God." And now every time those two play, it's a blood feud.
So now, by the way, now we know why Josh has not been in. See, now it's like, oh, my gosh.
My favorite part, too, was my dad said, "You know, I went to Catholic school growing up. I knew this kid named Josh Johnson. We always thought it was weird he went to our Catholic school because he was a Mormon kid. I wonder if it's the same Josh Johnson since he's from Chicago."
He does have a filthy mouth, so.
See, and it's funny that
you're... That fits with me.
Oh, I was about to say, it's funny that you went there because then we saw that the first time he and Kyler went at it, my dad just stared at the message board, said, "Huh, must not be the same guy."
That's awesome. But it's interesting because you and I have talked about fantasy draft.
You've tipped your hand. You told me who you're taking number one overall.
Well, first off, you're giving me the number one pick.
Well, I didn't. That was,
I'm floored by this.
Mi padre.
But
you got it on a technicality.
So either I'm doing what, either you're like, I guess I get the impression I told you what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the impression you haven't come right out and said it, but in your head it's like, well, that's stupid. So I kind of feel like
I don't want to say it, though, lest you end up changing your mind last second and Jonathan Taylor instead.
I don't think I am.
Okay,
perfect. In fact, I've gone double down on that because I badmouthed Jonathan Taylor yesterday, too. I'm like, that smacks like a pick of a guy that is going, he's going to run for 2,000 yards, and then he's going to have a hamstring issue the whole season, you know, or something like that. So I've already said that I'm going to pick Josh Allen. I've done very well with Josh Allen over the last, when I've had him. And then he's expected to be an MVP candidate this year.
The only reason that I raised my eyebrow at you when you said that, because I don't even doubt that Josh Allen will likely score the highest total in the league, because he's a quarterback. You know, the top 20 are all going to be quarterbacks. That's just how fantasy football operates. It's the fact that in my one of my other leagues, we call it which, by the way, so we have one player. I kind of told you this the other day. We monitor our players in this league that we're in, make sure everyone sets a lineup every week. We got one dude who for the last 2 years, the second he was out of playoff contention, stopped setting lineups.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's on your crap list.
Yeah, so now he's on the to-watch list. So he's gone if he does it again this year.
He's like the guy at the grocery store with the bad check taped on the side of the register. It's like, do not accept checks from this guy.
Which is a shame because I think he's been to like two championships before, back when he used to, you know, care. Just so we're clear, like his team name is still The Vic Show.
So, but you pointed out. But you pointed out, it's like, hey, don't wind up on the watch list.
Yes, but anyhow, so we have some people, and I made this joke the other day with them. I said, it's funny, so we have a league that's just like for my family members that they just do for fun. It's literally just called the Feely League from the extended family on my dad's side. My wife is in it. And I said, it's almost like our minor league. Like, if this dude has to be cut next year, we're going to pull my wife up from the minor leagues where she's getting called up to the big time.
Well, that's like what happens. Well, is it the English Premier League?
Yes.
The worst team drops down a level and then best team comes up.
And the top four teams go to the Champions League. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. I'm going to... So I've gotten the impression you're not...
Oh yes,
you're not really on board with.
So in my Feely League, I have Josh Allen. I got him in round four. So
I guess here's the thing, though. If you're going to spend money, this is actually a life lesson for those of you out there. So go ahead and turn this on and feel free to record this, which I guess it is.
You should every week anyway. We speak nothing but wisdom.
It's only overpaying if you feel like you've overpaid. If you are happy with the price that you've paid.
I'll say this. We had one of the gentlemen who...
If I pick Josh Allen number one and he does great and I win the league...
Oh, if you win the league,
I don't care where I picked.
Then my questions mean nothing at that point. You are right. We did have one person who went that route once before. His name was George. He lasted about 3 years in our league. Then he started kind of doing the same thing.
I think I put on the watch list.
Yeah. First year, though, he had this spreadsheet that he did, and we're like, so at first, I mean, that was some promise early on. He came to the draft with a spreadsheet on point differential by position. And he was convinced he had the strategy. He thought Aaron Rodgers that year, this was like 2015.
He just watched Moneyball.
He thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be worth more points than the second best quarterback every week than any other top player at their position would be worth more than the second, if you kind of get with it.
Okay.
Like, he thought the top running back, which was, I want to say Peterson at the time, was worth like 8 more points a week than, you know, Matt Forte was going to be.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers would be worth 11 points more than the... He had this whole... So he had the second pick in the draft. He took Aaron Rodgers. He said, I'm taking Rodgers right now. I don't care. And he started 6-0. He then, however, did finish... I want to say it was... He finished 8-6, got the 4 seed. But, you know, he was backpedaling into the playoffs at that point. But he was 8-6, made the 4 seed. I beat him in round 1.
So what's the correlation between picking the quarterback too early then? I guess I don't understand.
Well, I guess the thought process is, if you take Josh Allen in round 1, then you have Josh Allen. But then, you know, you go to take your running back. Now, at pick number 1, I looked down. I think we discussed this. Players ranked like 20th, 21st was Kamara and Nick Chubb. So you're still going to get 2 solid running backs, so that's fine. But then you go to pick your receiver, and you're down to like, Jaylen Waddle as your number 1, AJ Brown maybe. Whereas if you were to say, well, you know what, I can get Josh Allen in round 3, I'll take Cooper Kupp now, my 2 running backs, and then go get Josh Allen later, and then instead of Josh, of course, then you risk not getting Josh Allen.
Right.
But
okay, all right.
That's always been my thought process.
I see what you're saying. Now, here's the thing.
But now if I've talked you out of it and you win, I want like half of the trophy. We're going to cut it in half and I get to keep half.
Oh, there for a second I was hoping you were talking like there was money.
Oh. That's the funniest part too about this league is that we have created this fictional sense of accomplishment about it in our own heads, those of us that play in it, that I played in a cash league for like 4 years in a row and genuinely... Every week, because I'm in 3 leagues, I take a moment and I write down all the players I have on a notebook so I don't have to keep checking my app, and sometimes I'm behind anyway. I'm watching on DVR. And I write all my opponents so I can just check throughout the day on my notebook on all 3 leagues at once so I don't have to flip between them. And I write the league that I'm prioritizing at the top. And I prioritize this one over the one where we had $500 on the line. If I want, where I'm like, because there was literally a week I think I had Darren Waller in this league, and I was facing Darren Waller in the cash league on Monday Night Football, and I was winning in the cash league by 5, but losing by 21. And I was cheering as hard as I could for Darren Waller because I wanted to. I'm like, you know what? I'll take a loss in the cash league. I can't lose to Kyler. It's Kyler week. I need this win.
Kyler sounds like he doesn't have any friends.
Oh, no. he's part of the 2 biggest rivalries in the league. So, I'll say that, though. You can't say he doesn't participate.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway, I'm excited there. Now, the other league that I'm in, mm-hmm. I'm the commissioner. It's
boo!
Yeah, but I make $64 million, so I don't care.
As the fantasy league grows, you make the percentage of the growth that comes with it.
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, no, because there's no growth.
Yeah, the 2 people that you added, contributed $0 to add to the $0 that was already there.
So I guess I am making
so you get 10% of that zero.
So, but the difference is in that league, I leave it very random, the order. In fact, we don't even know, like, they will let you into the draft room like 15 minutes before it starts.
Like, it's like 8 seconds before you got to pick.
That's how we know, that's when we know the order.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is no matter what the order is, a lot of, of my brothers are in this league.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all of them are at this point. There's at least one of them that will always make the same complaint that he is screwed over on the order every time. And that so-and-so is always at the... It's just like, you say this every year. See, he's a Bears fan, too, by the way.
Oh, then he's just used to complaining. We're trained in it as children.
But yeah, he's always complaining about that. He's always complaining that return yardage doesn't count. Like someone who returns.
Oh, for the player.
Yeah, for the player. Like somehow that's my fault.
I was about to say, I discovered that by accident one year because I got so happy that I think I had Darren Sproles or something. No, I had Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen on my fantasy team, he returns a punt for a touchdown against the 49ers. And I start jumping. Oh, yeah, I got a touchdown. No, the Bears defense got that touchdown. Tariq Cohen does not personally get Are you kidding me?
And then the other thing he gets upset about is I have set the bonus points for quarterbacks. If they hit 400 or 500 yards, it's a really big number. So, in fact,
mine are more reserved because our league has bonuses too, and yours are eccentric.
Well, but it's actually become more common lately. The 400 yards passing that's happens a lot more now than it used to.
Now that people have 50 to 60 pass attempts a game,
but 500 is still really quite rare. Even though I think it happened, was it Burrow hit 500, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm just saying, but it doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm. You have to be like a Joe Burrow to get that done.
It's
now.
Some huge bonus. And I can't even tell you what it is off the top of my head. It's either 60 points or 80 points. It's something it's something that's like, if you get this.
As if the 500 yards and probable touchdowns that
and
went
five
with it
touchdowns
weren't going to do it anyway.
Exactly. But I like the. Anyway, I've always left it at that because I'm like, that's rare. I mean, it doesn't even happen. It goes years.
Can I say, too, that last year, in this league, the main league, I had Josh Allen and Joe Burrow on my fantasy team. Josh Allen, that week, of course I started Josh Allen. He's the every week quarterback, right? And I got like 58 points out of him. He like destroyed the Dolphins or something the same week. And I couldn't believe I left 30 points on the table. I got 58 from Josh Allen, and I left 30 points on the table because Joe Burrow threw for 560 and six touchdowns on my bench. I went, what?
Like I said, it is. Now imagine you'd left 120 points on the bench or whatever. So anyway, so he always yells at me for that. He's the same guy, same one of my brothers that complains that Devin Hester should already be in the Hall of Fame. And I always counter with Brian Mitchell because I'm a Washington guy. And I'm like,
which is a bad counter.
Well, but I'm like, there's literally a list of five guys of all time yardage and the other four in the Hall of Fame and Brian Mitchell's not.
Oh, yes, for all.
So it's like,
to be fair, anyway, though, I'll give you Brian Mitchell had that weird fun fact of I think he played fullback for a bit. He played some receiver. I think they put him at safety for a game.
He also played for a bunch of different teams.
He also, in a game when you guys lost your starting quarterback and your backup was already sick, they asked the backup if he could go, and Brian Mitchell finished the game for you at quarterback.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that game. But anyway, so there's always some conflict with me as the commissioner in this league, and this one particular brother who he's just giving me crap. But deep down, he's like, I don't like how Dow runs this league.
I get crap every year for everything that happens. Sometimes they're actually complaining, but for the most part, I think that this is a group of we all know each other, and they just want to give me some crap. So, if they like lose by two on Monday Night Football, I'll get some texts from that person being like, oh, you need to change the such and such and give me a 3-point bonus right now.
So one of the things, since we've been talking about football for almost 25 minutes now.
We could just make this the fantasy football
episode.
And
we haven't even talked about anything other. But one thing that happened this week that people weighed in on, that we should weigh in on, is the block on Kayvon Thibodeau in the preseason game between the Giants.
Yeah, that's going to cost him a few weeks, isn't it?
Like I think now officially it's said 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the play, he's lucky he's not just done.
Yeah,
his leg and his knee went the wrong direction. I guess it must have gone right to its limit. Mm-hmm. Without going any further, because to me, when that happened and they showed it, I thought I was, you know, it's like that involuntary gross feeling you get in your stomach when that happens to somebody and you're just like, oh, that's broken. It's anyway. So he ends up walking and getting it checked out. And then he's walking like totally normal.
He waved off the cart.
Yeah. He's like walking totally normal. And I'm like, that guy's lucky. Anyway, I just kind of left it there. And we were watching the preseason feed, which happened to be the New York Giants feed. And Carl Banks, who's obviously one of the greatest defensive players of all time, played for the Giants.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, yeah, he's got to do a better job of protecting himself on these blocks. Because he saw him coming. It was Thaddeus Moss. And his name is Mud this week in a lot of people's.
Which
is what we're going to talk about.
I was excited for Thaddeus Moss, too, when he was coming out of LSU. I really thought he was going to be a slightly bigger name amongst tight ends in the league, considering the year he had his senior year.
And Washington picked him up as an undrafted free agent right out of college, and they needed a tight end bad. I mean, they had nobody, which is kind of crazy, because I look at where they are now, the guy that they were counting on, Logan Thomas ended up being converted over, and he's turned in. I mean, he got hurt last year, but he's a stud. I think they drafted really well with John Bates out of Boise State, and then they drafted another one this last year with Cole Turner out of Nevada, and supposedly he's been super good in the preseason. So it's like you go back 2 years and you're hoping Thaddeus Moss would be the answer, and then now he's off breaking someone's knee for some other team.
I mean, he was genuinely at times. Now, granted, he was playing on a team that had Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Terrence Marshall outside.
Yeah, but
so maybe he was being covered by like defensive tackles.
But his dad is Randy Moss.
That's the other thing.
And he's, I mean, he's obviously good enough to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's found. I mean, he's still doing it.
Yeah.
I just, maybe he hasn't quite found
his spot yet. Speaking of preseason heroes, by the way, I don't know if anyone saw, but undrafted linebacker Jack Sanborn for the Bears has been the highest graded defensive player in weeks 1 and 2 of the preseason across the NFL.
Whoop-de-doo.
He got a 94 and a 96 grade by Pro Football Focus.
Wow, let's fit him for his gold jacket and his bust then.
Future Hall of Famer Jack Sanborn, undrafted out of Wisconsin.
But going back to this, there was a big dust-up and a stink about this block. And was it dirty? And some people went off. Emmanuel Ocho, who I follow on Twitter, Rich Eisen, although Rich Eisen came back and offered what he called a mea culpa. It was basically like, I overreacted. But I mean, they were like, this guy should be suspended and this is dirty. There's no place for this. And then guys like Mark Schlereth, who's a 3-time Super Bowl champ as an offensive lineman, he's like, you bunch of Nancys, this happens 100 times in a game. And what was interesting is I thought Carl Banks, during the actual broadcast, he didn't go off on Thaddeus Moss. He didn't go off at all.
No.
He was just like, that's unfortunate. And that young man he'll learn from this to basically protect himself better.
People throw the word dirty around when it's not applicable a lot too, by the way. A dirty hit in sports is when you intentionally do something illegal to injure someone. That is a dirty play. doing, because I used to complain about that too all the time when people would say like linebackers hitting receivers, they want to go, oh, what a filthy play. Oh, that was so dirty. I'm like, I bet that wasn't on purpose. I bet he didn't say, I'm going to kill this guy right now knowing it's illegal.
Plus, people are full of crap. That's why we watch. We watch for those types of collisions. That's why we like football.
I'm like, big hits, legal, illegal, doesn't matter. Has to be intentional and with the intent to hurt someone to be dirty. Well, just as my soapbox
so
rant.
This
of the
is
day.
My opinion on this play. So Moss comes, they were looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a blindside block, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
If it would have been, that would have been a penalty, because mm-hmm. they've gotten rid of those. We used to call those ear holes.
By the way, speaking of hits, I was so, so very happy to hear, because I thought we were only going in the wrong direction for the rest of time, that one of the points of emphasis this year is going to be on roughing the passer. They want to draw back on calls that don't have any, that they're going to call... last year, if you ran into the quarterback after he released the ball, you were getting called like 99 out of 100 times.
Which is crap.
This year, they made it a point of emphasis. If the defender is running full speed and he runs into the quarterback after he throws it, they will say no penalty. He couldn't stop himself. It will only be a penalty this year if you drive a quarterback into the ground, if they deem that you could have avoided it and didn't. So now you're allowed to land on the quarterback again, or hit him and stuff like that.
I guess I'll believe this when I see it. Because I watched part of the Washington game. Mm-hmm. Taylor Heinicke was in, and somebody came through and popped him after he threw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that was a good hit. And they flagged the guy.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, I like Taylor Heinicke. He's my guy. He's a guy that I like. And I'm like, that's garbage.
It has been for a while.
And it was like, well, he kind of, was up in his torso and up towards his head. I'm like, so now we're calling, it's towards his head? His torso is his friggin' chest. You're telling me you can't hit somebody in the chest now? I totally hope you're right. I hope they throttle back because there's too many little, and I hate it. Because we as fans, we've latched onto it. And we're like, oh, that guy, when he came through, he followed through with his hand and it grazed, so-and-so's face mask. And that's a penalty. It's like, screw you. That should not be a penalty. It should be like, son, were you trying to end his life? No, sir, I was not. Okay, that's not a penalty. That's how football should be. And I understand what they're saying. They want these things in place because we want to see Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers back there and not, rookie sixth rounder versus journeyman, 10-year journeyman back there. We don't even know their names. So I get that, but that doesn't change anything. Have you ever thought to yourself, has there been one injury that's been avoided for a big-time quarterback because of this rule? I don't think there has.
I know there was an injury created. I believe it was one of your Washington players.
So Joe Burrow got crushed by Chase Young a couple years ago.
Oh, no, I was going to say...
That was just a hit.
That the defender tried to roll off of Aaron Rodgers and hurt his own shoulder doing it and missed 4 weeks. And I was so mad.
I guess I side more with Mark Schlereth on this. Not just because he was with Washington for one of his Super Bowls. But kind of. But basically, he says this is part of the game, and he basically said what Carl Banks said. Kayvon Thibodeau showed poor technique in protecting himself from this cut block. And I guess I side with Mark Schlereth here because they had made eye contact. Mm-hmm. This was a collision between two people.
This was a business transaction.
It was. It was a normal
variety.
Block. It wasn't like he's engaged up top and that we don't even know that sneaky bastard is down there and then he dives down and gets him from the side of the knee. It's not like one of those. It's not like one of those blocks. It was, here I come. Are you ready? Oh, I'm going to go super low so you don't get the... I'm just saying there was... I didn't see anything wrong with it.
See, and I can speak from a place of experience here, unfortunately. I can shed some light on the difference between an unfortunate block and a dirty block. I played some tight end when I was at college. I played wide receiver my whole life. So blocking from the line was something I was not entirely used to. And we used to cut block a lot.
Yeah.
I accidentally did roll one of our starting DN's ankles during training camp one year. And thankfully, he was ready to go by week one. But there was some question if he would be, because I kind of went back first into him rather than going at his hip.
Yeah, because you're being you're being blocked into him.
I rolled back first right into his feet, rolled his ankle over, and I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Which, I mean.
And there was a second instance, and I owe him an apology for this. One of our linebackers, when I was at MOBAP, I caught a screen pass. This was my sophomore year. He was a senior. I was on scout team. And I catch a screen pass, and he came running in. I catch the tunnel. I don't even have a chance to turn up field. He put the crown of his helmet right into my chin, knocked me loopy. And rather than just, you know, I mean, technically, I guess that's an illegal hit, but mostly, I think he didn't do it on purpose.
But it happens.
I didn't care at the time. I got up so mad, and unfortunately, the first place my brain went was 3 plays later. I checked myself back in. We call a different screen. This one's to the running back. I'm out wide. I'm playing tight end, but kind of off the line. I'm in a 2-point stance. I'm supposed to crack block, and I see he's in at linebacker again. And I can tell you that 100% with nothing but cruel intentions, I did dive square at his kneecaps.
Ooh, now, Aaron, you dirty, dirty, yeah, that dirty
was
player.
The difference between one of those blocks being dirty and one of them was an accident. And thankfully, the accident was the only one that caused any damage. I hit him in the knees. He tumbled over me. He got up. He's like, ah! Then he just got up and walked back to his huddle. I think, thankfully, nothing bad happened to him because, you know, with the power of hindsight, with a clear thought, like, yes, there was no reason I should have ever done that to a teammate. He didn't do it on purpose.
And if he would have gotten hurt, you'd have felt awful.
I would have felt horrible.
You'd feel horrible now.
Yes.
Years later. Anyway, I thought this was a big, you know, what's the much ado about
much
nothing.
Much ado about nothing.
It was nothing.
Well, I mean, I guess it's more than nothing. It's just nothing that was intentional.
And I think part of it was people, I don't know. People want to be on this.
Blame the offensive coordinator for calling the play in which he has to block like that. If you're going to be irrationally mad.
It's like, I got news for you. If football turns into a completely sterile, aren't we better than this, people? There's no place for this in football. Really? We're going to say that while growing up on John Facenda with his thunderous voice talking about Jack Lambert killing people. I mean, seriously, that's why we like football. It's violent. And unfortunately, yes, injuries happen. And I don't want them to, but they do. It's like, okay, why do you watch auto racing?
I don't.
Well, if you watch the WNBA, but you don't watch auto racing.
Correct. I don't have a team in auto racing.
Well, if you
I
did,
know it's weird.
If
but
you did tune in, if auto racing was on, let's say you had 20 minutes.
I know where you're going, though. You're trying to see some.
Why would you be watching it? Would you be watching it to see if Chase Stewart overtakes Joey Logano on the backstretch? No, you're hoping for a dang wreck. You're hoping somebody hits the wall. And you'll be like, yeah, wow, did you see that? That was fantastic. And then, you know, again, hopefully nobody gets hurt. But you want to see a car flip over 16 times.
Yes,
and then the driver get out and go, whoa, did you guys see that?
For instance, if you YouTube Dick Butkus highlights, the people making those highlights know what the people want, right? Like,
exactly.
He is top 10 all time in interceptions, and he's number one in a weird stat if you credit the player for this. He's the number one player in NFL history in fumble recoveries, for what it's worth.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Top 10 in interceptions. Number one in fumble recoveries. You watch a 10-minute Dick Butkus highlight reel, and I bet you don't see a single fumble recovery or interception.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one at like the 5-minute mark, because no, they're like, do you want to watch Dick Butkus make a great football play?
It's him taking people's heads off.
Or do you want to see him kill this Atlanta running back and make the guy poop himself?
Anyway, I just we need to get over this.
Jack Tatum killed a guy.
It's bullcrap. it's disingenuous. For us to sit here and go, Oh, well, we don't want any violence in football.
You should see.
I don't want Kayvon Thibodeau's knee to get. Nobody wants someone's knee to get blown out.
No, I will say this. That particular play wasn't even one where it's like, oh, what an electrifying hit that's so exciting. I mean, it was just a block, but it wasn't on purpose. It was just an accident.
I think it was on purpose. It was just two guys blocking.
No, okay. I meant the intention was not, I'm taking out Kayvon Thibodeau's knee.
Oh, no.
The intention was, I need Kayvon Thibodeau to be on the ground so that my running back can leak out.
Well, let's remember, this is a preseason game.
He's trying to make the team.
He's trying to make the dang team.
Yeah, this was not malicious. This was a football block.
Anyway, moving on. Quit being a hypocrite out there. NFL fans, we want carnage.
I should show you someone made a very cleverly edited. The video is titled, The NFL is Becoming Too Violent, and it's just clips of announcers from the preseason this year. And the two that it leads off with are the only two I remember, but I was rolling around laughing. It starts off with, this linebacker here for the Philadelphia Eagles, last week at practice, he killed a guy, and then it just cuts immediately so it doesn't let the guy. And then it goes to, earlier today I was talking to Baker Mayfield. He was on the field. He's got a gun. It cuts again.
Are you saying that we as announcers are overly dramatic? Yeah, I guess we are.
That gave me a chuckle, but... Yeah, and, we'll circle back to the fantasy football discussion we were talking about earlier, Dal, because why not? We started with a 20-minute rant about the league. This is just going to be the fantasy football episode, I guess.
Yeah, why not?
We were talking about rivalries earlier, so I thought, what the heck? Let's give him a call. He's part of two of the biggest ones in the league. We have Kyler on. He's been on the show before. He helped us. I want to say it was the divisional round of the playoffs many a millennia ago, it feels like, all of a sudden.
It does.
He was on here as your replacement for that week, I do believe. So, Kyler, we were talking a little bit about your blood feud with Josh Johnson. Dal and I were
Which I think is hilarious. You don't know this guy, yet you guys seem a little bit scared of this guy. Is that fair to say?
I fear no man, first of all. But
that thing... Yeah. It scares me.
The first season he was in the league, I just thought it would be funny to try and talk trash to somebody who was just a random in the league and was not expecting the response that I'm sure Aaron has told you about. A lot of words were said that I won't repeat on air, but...
That's probably good.
Yeah, it's just been a growing rivalry over the past 10 or so years.
I'm just picturing this guy. You guys have seen Billy Madison, right? The movie with Adam Sandler.
And I try not to watch Adam Sandler films.
And at the end of the movie, he calls and he apologizes to this guy that he had bullied over the years. And it's Steve Buscemi. And he's like listening to a record in the basement wearing lipstick. Just this really weird guy. And he's like, he crosses off the guy's name like on his murder list. And I'm like, I'm picturing this. He's in his basement just sharpening a knife with a picture of Kyler and an X through his eyes down in his basement. That's how I'm picturing this guy.
Because of one random week that Kyler decided to talk trash. Like, it's got to have been like 10 years now?
Yeah, pretty much about 10 years. And I don't think you would be that far off, assuming that that's what he's doing in his basement. But it's incredible because every season his team will look like the worst team in the whole league. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the year I get to talk a bunch of smack. And then somehow manages to just have all the players that turn it up for the second half of the season.
He's a waiver wire scrounger.
Well, and the thing that I always get upset with is that I am convinced he has some sort of voodoo doll, in that no matter how lopsided a trade seems, no matter how bad you think that you are clearly winning a trade with him, he will win the trade in the end. And the pinnacle of that was, I remember there's one year I had rookie Cam Newton and Reggie Bush as a Dolphin. And he offered me Drew Brees and Adrian Peterson for those two.
Yeah, which you should take.
Like 6 weeks into the season, I said, are you kidding me? And everyone got on my case immediately afterward. They're like, Aaron, you cannot possibly blah, blah, blah. This is cheatery. Why didn't he give me that trade? Like, everyone was giving me crap. Adrian Peterson tore his ACL a week later, and Cam Newton won Rookie of the Year that year. Drew Brees ended up missing six games that year, too.
Wow.
Peterson and Brees got hurt within 3 weeks. Reggie Bush ended up having a 1,000-yard rushing season, a double-digit touchdown
probably
year.
Probably his only one.
And I went, no. No, 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 no. What? And he's done it like eight times since. He keeps fleecing people with... he clearly loses these trades.
So you're telling me don't trade with
Do not guy. Trade with Josh Johnson.
So, Kyler, have you and Josh ever had a trade? Doesn't sound like you have.
No, we have never traded. He did try to trade me once. I can't remember who was involved, but he did try to trade me once.
I don't even look at him anymore. I auto-decline.
But I do want to say one thing that Aaron has never mentioned, because I do listen to this on a weekly basis. I do enjoy your guys'
sorry.
Show. but I've never heard Aaron talk about how he is the most biased commissioner in the history of fantasy football.
As Mike this Trout man, once said, I've never seen a commissioner that
league,
didn't get booed.
I made it to the championship, and this man and his father trades their younger brother, who I was playing, who was like 6 or 7 years old. they trade them all their best players to beat me. And then the next
Dude,
season, there's
so...
all of a sudden a trade deadline.
That
there's
is...
all of a sudden a trade deadline Wait, the next season.
That is corrupt.
Oh, yeah. I was the it's biggest corrupt. Villain in fantasy history for a good six-year
wow.
period.
I can't believe you just sat here and you've kept this. Because I'm
I noticed he hasn't mentioned that at all.
Well, I'm a commissioner in one of my leagues, and I was talking about how I get crap from one of my brothers because I over-incentivize certain like rewards. So, like, for example, when Joe Burrow threw for 500-plus yards, what was it, last year or the year mm-hmm. before?
Last year.
Well, in my league, it's like a 60. I don't even know if it's 60 or 80. It's something ridiculous. It's a 60 or an 80-point bonus on top of. And so he got smoked for that, and he was just whining like a mule about it. And it's just like, it was a 500-yard game. They come along like every 5 years or something. Anyway, that's me. And then you... Are purposely screwing somebody before the time. Oh, my gosh. I'd be so mad.
Do you want to know how he justifies it?
Yeah, Hold on.
I'll let Aaron explain how he justifies it.
So the way
it.
That
Aaron,
I always
you,
used to defend it was that I went back and I checked, and the players we took from Braden to give him our good players actually outscored his team of super players that particular week.
Well, that's just a fluke.
So that was a fluke. So, yes, we did the evil thing, but Kyler probably would have lost either
way.
Well,
as someone who has been, in fact, up until this, the last 2 years, I was known as the Marty Schottenheimer of our league because I would win the regular season and then I would lose in the first round of the playoffs every single year. Well, I've won it the last 2 years and it's been glorious. But I still feel like, so if you had done that to me, I had a good season, I would just be beside myself.
I was furious. I was absolutely furious. I'm still talking about it 12 yeah. years later. So
and rightfully you should see Dell. That's what you don't understand is this league that we have formed with nothing on the line but a trophy is formed entirely of blood feuds.
Fueled
and
by
chaotic history. It's fueled by hate.
Say fueled by caffeine and hate.
This entire league. Is fueled by hatred, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
So
it's sort of the backstory to why my profile picture in my fantasy league now is the picture of me with the evil smile and the curled mustache.
See, I
was the villain of the league.
I've still
so
got
I
to figure
it.
Out. I've still got to figure out. I don't even know what team name I'm going to use yet.
I think your current one works just fine.
Am I the Knobs?
No, you're the Bitter Creek Blitzkrieg.
Oh yeah, I got to change that. That's a little too. That's a little too fascist.
You're the only true Wyomingite of the league. You
yeah,
have to have
and
the
I,
Wyoming-esque.
And I pick a Nazi term for my... Anyway, I can do better
not,
than that.
Not technically Nazi. They
yeah,
they,
that's
came
true.
Up with Blitzkrieg in World War I.
Oh, okay. So. Thank you, Cliff.
That's your history lesson of the day.
But so we were talking about who would you pick
if you were the number one overall pick, Kyler,
as a number one overall pick in the draft that's coming up, who would you pick?
Who would I pick as the number one overall draft pick?
Yes.
Well, definitely not Christian McCaffrey.
Yes. screw him.
Definitely not him. I would. That is tough, honestly, because I haven't done very many mock drafts yet. But I would probably take, you know, I think Saquon Barkley is going to have a comeback season and surprise everybody.
Wow.
I think Yahoo has Barkley ranked as the 18th.
Saquon Barkley is going to come out and dominate this year.
I think he's going to get hurt in the first half of the season.
So Dal has tipped his hand, Kyler.
I've already said I'm going to pick Josh Allen. And
he's taken a quarterback number one
and
overall.
Aaron, he's been pretty polite. He hasn't come right out and said you're an idiot, but he's kind of implied it.
Well, then I won't bother implying it as well.
I wish I had the draft order in front of me. I don't remember if you remember it offhand where you pick, but I think, what are you picking, like 7th, I want to say?
Probably middle of the pack. I'm middle of the pack every year.
Well, this year, my dad won the consolation bracket, and the way that we do it, as I was telling Dal, is consolation bracket champion picks the draft order, and he said just do it by points. Whoever scored the most last year gets picked 10th. So on a technicality, Dal got the number one pick this year because he wasn't in the league. He scored 0 points last year. So on a technicality, Dal got the first pick.
I didn't lobby for this either. And then you're like, oh, it's okay. You're going to screw it up and take Josh Allen first. But see, I'm a big Josh Allen fan. So, and I've done well with him. Anyway, I don't see myself changing. I think that's probably what I'm going to do.
I couldn't help myself, and I took Dalvin Cook in my Feely League.
See, I'm intrigued by Dalvin Cook, but I'm not convinced he'll stay healthy the whole year.
And I thought, well, I'll take, because I really love Ja'Marr Chase. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And I thought to myself, well, I'll take Ja'Marr Chase in the other league. I'll get him in one league, so it'll be fine. I just realized after that draft went by that in this, our main league, my cousin Jack, the only other person who loves Ja'Marr Chase as much as I do, picks one pick ahead of me.
Yeah, he's going to screw you.
He's going to take Ja'Marr Chase.
So Kyler, let's say you were the number one guy. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
So let's say you have the number one pick like I do. And then you'll get to pick again like at 21 and 22 or whatever.
No, you pick again then at 20 and 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who would you pick at number one?
I already said that. He said Barkley.
So Barkley, but is there anybody else?
Oh, you know, I was just thinking about who had the best season last year fantasy-wise. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. There is no way he's going to do that again. I'm not completely sold on Jonathan Taylor.
I'm not either.
So it's kind of a toss up. This feels like the first year in like 8 years where it's been like
there's no consensus
really
number one.
See, part of the reason I want to pick Josh Allen is they appear to have some more running backs that are going to do well for Buffalo. I still feel like he's going to get...
He's going to lead them in rushing touchdowns.
I still feel like he's going to get six to eight rushing touchdowns just because he's a tree. He's he's a huge man.
I'd kind of like to see, just to see if they could make it work? He wouldn't be what he was on the Bears, but he just keeps floating around to be people's goal
the
line
fridge.
Back. That too. What if they gave my boy Jordan Howard a shot up in Buffalo? They're running back starved. He is great at the goal line, if nothing else. Then you don't have to risk. Now, I have Allen in fantasy in a league, so I don't want that. But you don't have to risk your quarterback as your best goal line runner anymore.
I don't know.
Oh, what are we talking about real football for? Let's get back to our fantasies.
So, all right, so let's... Kyle,
but to answer your question, some advice for you. I think Josh Allen would be available at pick 20 or at pick 21, 22. Personally, I think Josh Allen might still be there.
I was going to say, would you be tempted if you had the number one pick this year? Now, this is on Yahoo rankings. People can jump all over the place. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
So nothing set in stone. But if we just assumed that for some reason the world worked in a normal, sensible way, and everyone just picked the players in the order they were listed. Picks 20 and 21 in the Yahoo rankings are Kamara and Nick Chubb. So you could conceivably, with the number one pick, get two starting running backs in rounds 2 and 3, Would you be tempted as a traditionalist to say, well, I need position players because all quarterbacks score high? Would you take a Cooper Kupp number one overall and then get Chubb and Kamara later on?
Tyler?
I might be tempted to do that just because of the past season he had, and I don't know if – I can't remember. I don't know what moves the Rams have made. Have they added another
– They got Allen Robinson, but they lost Odell Beckham. So just one out, insert the other.
I might be tempted to go Cooper Kupp first overall. I mean,
he basically won the championship last year.
Yeah.
He's clearly Matt Stafford's favorite target.
Jack might have had the greatest pure luck draft ever last year because his two best players, I want to say, were taken in like round 3 and then in round like 8 because he had Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. He did what I normally do, where my best player is some schlub that I accidentally backpedaled my way into.
Hey, sometimes you got to have a little luck to win the championship. That's always been true. I know that's true for me.
I have the least amount of luck in the league, as you will soon find out.
We got to talk about the year that Kyler, who then talked about afterward how he's like, all summer long, all I think about is fantasy football draft when football returns. It's what I wait for. It's my second Christmas. Draft day comes along. Kyler had this plan. He's going to take David Johnson. David Johnson is his pick at number 7 overall. He's got him locked in. Kyler comes up. What was it you said? You like stepped away from the computer or something, right? Because you had him already. Go ahead.
Okay, so I created the watch list, and I had saved a bunch of people to my watch list. And me being lazy, didn't want to pick a player, but I had already went in and typed Johnson and added the first D Johnson to my watch list, not realizing which D Johnson I added. And then went to the bathroom, came back, found out that I drafted Duke Johnson, convinced myself that, oh my gosh, they're going to use him more as a receiving back this year. They've been talking about it. Maybe it won't be totally bad. Don't know why I was trying to lie to myself.
But
I actually ended up having a good season that year.
I don't know if this makes it more depressing or like a pat on the back that you almost made. I think he was the 5. So he was like the last team out. He almost made the playoffs, having literally wasted his first overall pick. And I think to myself, on one hand, like, wow, good turnaround. On the other, you think, well, maybe if I had had David Johnson instead.
It happens, though. I won my other league 2 years ago, first time I'd won it. My first overall pick was Christian McCaffrey because he was supposed to have this huge season, and the schmuck played in like 1.5 games. And so Josh Allen saved me that year. Mm-hmm. And among somebody else I picked up again. Yeah, it's to me, it's almost always who you can pick up in that first quarter or third of the season. They're kind of underperforming. Maybe they get cut or they were underdrafted.
Or they have a really good week one, so you just pick them up on
anyway,
a hunch.
Yeah, you just got to get lucky. I don't know.
My three biggest success. Oh.
Aaron, was that the same season that I drafted Andrew Luck and then he retired?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
With my third round pick or something like that.
Yeah, that's
I've got good. I have the worst luck in fantasy football.
See, I was joking with Dal too about you probably have a better claim to it just because you haven't won a championship, you haven't won the trophy yet, but you always have a good team. I said my dad always irritates me because he will tell me to my face that no one in the history of fantasy football has worse luck than him, and he's won like 4 championships. I'm like, you whiny baby.
Yeah.
He's like, this one time in week 8, Darren Waller went off against me. No one has worse luck than me. It cost me 1 regular season game.
You were saying, Kyler?
Oh, I was saying that I made the championship my first year and have never sniffed it since then.
So you're Dan Marino.
Instead, I get to watch Aaron and his dad run roughshod over the league and make it look like fantasy football takes skill. I don't even understand how you can be so consistently in the championship in something that is all luck.
Oh, I'm simply a baller is what you don't understand. I am built different.
Well, see, I have this theory that Aaron's going to be worse because he has a child now. But I don't know that that's true. He seems like he's basically ignoring his progeny.
And to Aaron's stay life, up, the child to, will take a backseat yeah, to all things.
So yeah, I was thinking he still seems up on everything. So it's like, yeah, maybe Max doesn't even know who his dad is. I don't know.
What you don't understand is that secretly, I am actually just raising Max, like from the King Richard movie. I'm raising him specifically to be a fantasy football prodigy in the future. He's learning all these things. I'm like, Max, one day you must grow up to take the crown of the greatest now, fantasy football player.
I think what you're really doing is you're just raising someone that you can crush as the 10th player in your league year after year until he hates you so much that he builds his own legacy to kill you himself. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Because, Dad, look, I made it
How
to the actual NFL.
How will this affect Max's legacy?
Aren't you proud of me? Oh, yeah, Max? Well, I still beat you in fantasy football last year. So
why don't you go clean your room?
But yeah, so looking forward to the fantasy draft. It'll be this Sunday, so Kyler, make sure that you're there. It's 4 p.m. your time, 3 p.m. our time. Make sure you don't draft Duke Johnson again.
Boy, really don't do that this year.
Oh,
I'm ready this year. You do not understand how ready I am.
I'm gonna look it up just to be sure. I don't think I have too much play on this, so let me go to the league history. So Kyler has made the playoffs since, so he said he didn't sniff it. But just because I have a hunch, the times that Kyler has made the playoffs since. Yeah, okay, so you've made the playoffs 6 times. You've made the championship once. But as I'm looking at this, we have your head-to-head record with Josh Johnson here. You're 9-12 against him all time. That's pretty even. Whatever. However, you faced in the playoffs twice. Josh Johnson has taken both playoff head-to-head matches, and he's won both of them by over 100 points.
Wow.
He is my kryptonite.
He ran it up on you.
And that's what he always seems to do, is anytime, because I think that's what happened the first time, right, Kyler? After you innocently tried to talk mild trash, and then it turned into a war zone. Didn't he win something ridiculous? He won like 290 to like 115. Like Kyler had his worst week of the year and Josh had his best week of the year.
Yeah, he might have.
And they saved it up.
He might have some dark magic working in that basement. He might be doing it.
Yeah. We need to never encounter this man in real life. I fear how that will end.
And Dahl, I'm trusting you to keep an eye on Aaron because I am not fully convinced that he doesn't send money to other people in our league to accept trades that he proposes because some of his trades are just bonkers.
Well, if he sends me money, I'll probably consider it. It depends on what it is.
Well, that's not encouraging to hear.
Depends on what it is.
Kyler, I'll give you $10 to let me take your draft spot so that I can have Ja'Marr Chase.
No.
I don't know. $10 is $10.
I might just take Ja'Marr Chase just to
you turd.
Really drive that stake through your chest.
You turd bucket. And because I was looking at it, I have the 9th pick. And I said, the 9th pick is like the worst pick to have this year because I'm looking at like the players that are there, like 9 through 12, what that range is, because that's my picks for the first and second round. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, that's literally like where the superstars end. Like, there's 8. Okay, good. That's a good first-round pick. Players this year. And then it just dumps down to, I think the guys that were in that range were Najee Harris, CeeDee Lamb, Joe Mixon, and Devontae Adams,
yeah.
Who's on a new... And I went, oh.
Like, no, I'm gonna Najee Harris is a solid choice this year. I think the Steelers' offensive line is going to improve, and with a... With,
I better hope
no
so.
Matter which one of the 3 quarterbacks play, they're going to be a running team, I think.
Well, and we all know Mitch Trubisky can throw to running backs. He loves the
I don't know.
Get my 6 PPR points free every week. It'll be like 20 yards, but he's got 6 catches.
I'm not picking him.
Not number one.
I think Najee Harris has a good chance of being the Jonathan Taylor of this year.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, maybe.
speaking of Thomas's, I in my Feely League, because I went running back so high up, and then I took Allen in round three. My wide receiver, I had Davante Adams, but then my two and my three are kind of sketch. So I have Mike Thomas as my wide receiver two.
Oh, geez.
Praying for a bounce back year.
Guys, I promise I'm not hurt. I'm just sitting out as a precaution.
I think I have Gabriel Davis of the Bills as my wide receiver three.
He might be a breakout. I don't know.
I'm hoping. But anyhow, yeah, we've hit the hour mark, so thank you for joining us this week, Kyler, talking about a little fantasy football, the history of the league.
Yeah, you guys need to have like an intro for like the history of the league and do a weekly segment about the history of our fantasy
this
league.
Week
There's
in
a lot
history.
To it.
Maybe we should. Maybe we'll do something like that, like a 5 minute at the beginning of the show. As the weeks go on, we'll talk about how the week went. I'll make fun of Dal and his terrible team.
Absolutely. I think that would be great.
I guess we'll see.
So I've hyped up my I've flashed my championships at Dal. I've talked about my successes. Kyler comes in, calls me the luckiest player ever. So because Dal is going to get his first look at me live, this will be the year I go like 6-8.
That'd be fine. That'd be fine with me.
I thought it was going to be last year. I really did.
Oh, that's true. Last year my team was I was like, I don't know what I was in scoring the first 5 weeks, but I was near the bottom. And then for some reason, my team just kept winning. I probably pulled like 6 weeks in a row where I won by a score of like, I won like 114 to 109, like in the lowest scoring game of the week. But my opponent just happened to be the second lowest scoring.
The bad ones are when you're ahead the whole time, and then you end up losing by like a fraction of a point. That happened to me a couple of times last year.
I believe my dad beat my brother once last year by 0.1.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
That was that was his super. He's like, that's better than any championship I've ever won. Beating my own son by 1/10 of a point.
Well, Kyler, I wish you luck this Sunday, but not that much.
Yeah. Well, I will look forward to the draft, and I guess we'll see if you actually pick Josh Allen first overall or not. But appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, you bet.
So you can catch us every Wednesday, except the weeks that you can't, here on YouTube, on Spotify, on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.